Leadership requires us to be decisive and clear on our objectives, our vision, and our values. But often as leaders, we tend to focus on our own story, motivations, and ambitions. The question is, how well do you understand people? A narrow vision of life can distance us from others and hinders relationships. But when we learn to understand people, we can create trust in a positive, collaborative environment that leads to their success and the success of our team. How can we understand people better? We're going to answer those questions and more right here today on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. We are thrilled you've joined us today. We've got a great discussion in store, a great episode planned and lined out, and I'm just going to have a great time talking about leadership. But before we do, Bruce, I've just been reflecting on a phenomenal week. We've just returned from Texas. We were involved in some training there and learning, but also being trainers in the conference, and just had a phenomenal week. So great content, great relationship building, and great time of networking. But two other things that really are kind of working their way to the forefront in my mind are the Tex-Mex. Man, what a great meal of Tex-Mex food, those homemade tortillas. I'm still dreaming about them, and I don't even get me started on the Texas brisket. As much as I enjoyed the learning and the networking, the food was exquisite, and we had a great time. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I can only recommend Rosa's Taco Factory or Tortilla Factory.
Rosa's Tortilla Factory.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Authentic Mexican. And it was just phenomenal. We enjoyed that. Had the sopapillas, which were on point, my man.
And then
Holy Smoke in Ovilla. We got to give a shout out to them. We've been there twice. Right. And I think it's been fantastic both times. We had I had the ribs and the brisket, and you know, Charles, we were waiting all week for that meal and ended up having to get kind of a brunch on our way out of town on Friday. So we had brisket for breakfast, and I can't imagine a more powerful combination for a power breakfast.
Hey, forget Wheaties. Brisket is the breakfast of champions.
No, yes, it is.
No doubt about it.
Unless you're the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, it is.
Well, hey, speaking of NFL football teams, our beloved Panthers enjoyed another victory yesterday. When they're few and far between, we just have to take a moment to savor each victory. And what a great win yesterday for our Panthers.
Yeah, it was a win. It was a win.
Well, when you're a Panthers fan, a win is something to behold. So I'm just reveling in the satisfaction of a victory yesterday. So
I'll tell you what, though, getting back to last week, the food was phenomenal, but our time spending some valuable time with some other consultants, some other ministers that have been doing what we've been doing, presenting a missional model of the ministry of the church in nations of the world. And so, you know, Charles, we've been focused on the Dominican Republic. We still have plans in the Dominican Republic, still a big year ahead of us, but I'm excited to see the other nations that the Lord is opening up to us. And so coming out of last week, we just sense the fields are ripe unto harvest and the Lord is opening doors for us. And you know, all we can say is, Lord, whatever you ask, we want to obey that and follow you into what you have for us and what you're wanting to do in the earth. And so we want to recommend a new website. It's a brand new website that brings together a lot of what we've been doing for the last few years in regards to missions, in regards to equipping fivefold ministry in the body of Christ in the earth. And so it's fivegifts.org, fivegifts.org. It does connect with the Five Gifts podcast, but fivegifts.org represents a nonprofit ministry that has been busy for years. In fact, we've just celebrated our 27th year in ministry in the Dominican Republic, but now we're expanding to other places in the world, believing that the Lord is opening the doors for us. So we'll talk more about that later, but that's going to become a hub of information for what we want to offer to leaders and church congregations, their missions opportunities, as well as a way to follow what we believe the Lord has given us to do. So, Charles, I'm excited about that. I trust that you are too.
Oh, absolutely. The Lord is opening up new doors of opportunity for us. And you mentioned the Dominican Republic. We're getting ready at the end of this year to go to a new place of ministry for us with the Five Gifts in Kenya, going to Africa and leading some pastors' conferences, trainings there, and then even, like you said, at a later time, some other opportunities around the world that God seems to be opening up for us to partner with him in that. And so we are extremely excited and just anticipating further expansion, further opportunities to partner with God as he is working in this earth. And so keep your ears tuned in and of how you could even be a part of some of those opportunities.
Yeah. You know, really the heartbeat of what we do is empowering leaders. And so we've been on a series of sorts for the last few weeks, and we're talking about issues related to developing people. And as a leader who's developing others, you know, there's a certain kind of influence that is very important, a healthy influence. Charles, most people, they don't look beyond their own experience when they're dealing with others. They tend to see events through the grid of their position, their background or circumstances. But today we're talking about what it means to understand others and how that builds influence. So could you talk to us a little bit about what it means to understand others?
Absolutely. There is great value in understanding people. As we talk, our aim is to encourage and to motivate and inspire leaders. And so as we talk to leaders and as ourselves, as we are leaders, we understand that there is great value as we begin to understand people. In fact, understanding people pays great dividends. There's a great return on our leadership investment as we understand people. In fact, it's been said that few things will pay you bigger dividends than the time and trouble you take to understand people. Now people are, we are a difficult a breed, if you will. So if we're going to lead people and if we're going to understand people, it requires a huge investment, and oftentimes it can feel like trouble to understand people. But man, I'm telling you, the longer I'm in this leadership journey that God has me in, I'm learning that it's less trouble and it's more investment. There is time that is required and there is sacrifice that is required. But as I understand people, the greater my ability, the greater my capacity increases in understanding other people. Those dividends, those returns seem to only increase on my leadership investment in people. And that is thrilling, that being able to understand people brings such a great return on leadership investment. As we talk about understanding people, a great concept in the value of understanding is this. It's that if we can't understand people and work with them, you cannot accomplish anything. Just by nature, I'm one who likes to achieve. I like to accomplish. And for so long in the beginning of my ministry and of leadership, I thought, well, I don't have time. I don't have time to invest in others. It wasn't even having time to invest. My thought was, I don't have time to wait on others to catch up. I've already got the idea. I already have the understanding. I already have the scope of what needs to take place. And so let's rush in and let's accomplish and let's achieve. And so many times I fell flat on the initiative. I was never able to carry the ball across the goal line, if you will, because I was trying to do everything in my own strength, in my own understanding, and in my own ability and gifts. And as highly as I might think of myself, man, we can't accomplish things that are sustainable apart from other people, not in leadership. If we're going to lead, we have to utilize the gifts and strengths and the abilities of other people. And in order to do that, I have to have an understanding of who people are. And that's what brings great value to the leadership relationship, is me being willing and then me actually taking time and investing the time to understand those who I'm called or am assigned to lead. And so all of that comes down to building relationship. And what I have learned and what I continue to learn as I grow in leadership is that in the economy of leadership, relationship is the capital that we deal in. And if we can build strong relationships, then we can operate in strong leadership. But apart from relationship, leadership isolated in a vacuum is not leadership at all. It's just kind of self-direction. It's not leading anyone. But through the medium or the conduit of relationship, I can find great understanding of other people. And through that understanding, the value begins to rise and it begins to increase. And people's buy-in in my leadership, people's willingness to participate and be led. Listen, you just can't put someone in a headlock and take them to the next destination. You actually need like permission to lead someone. And so that comes as I understand people, as I take time and I make the investment to understand someone. And when I have proper understanding of who it is I'm leading, then the value begins to just multiply. So again, if you can't understand people and you can't work with them, you can't accomplish anything. And as leaders, there is a drive within us. We want to achieve and we want to accomplish the goals and the marks that are set before us. So in order to do that, we must build relationships, and we can only build relationship through understanding. But I'll try to get off my soapbox there and let's move to the next kind of talking point here. But the ability to understand people is one of the greatest assets that a leader can have. The ability to understand people. And listen, wherever, being able to identify where you are on your leadership journey I would call that self-awareness. And self-awareness is critical to any leader's journey and growth in leadership. So being self-aware of my skill of understanding is critical to growing in understanding. And so I just have to be honest with myself. Okay, this is where I am on this continuum of continuous growth of learning how to understand people. This is where I am. All right, I'm a one, I'm a two, or you may be an eight or a nine. But understand, we're growing in this, and the greater the more we can develop the skill of being able to understand, then the greater that asset grows, and the more powerful that skill becomes, and the greater return that understanding will bring to us in our leadership. Here's what Harry Truman has to say about the skill or being able to understand people. He says, when we understand the other fellow's viewpoint, when we understand what he's trying to do, 9 times out of 10, he is trying to do what is right. So having said all of this about the value of understanding people, here's a question to kind of reflect on is, how can we improve our understanding of people? Because when we come to a place that we are pushing ourselves and we are being intentional in growing in our understanding of people, it brings incredible return to our leadership. So Bruce, we talked a little bit about the value of understanding people. What are some hindrances? I know that as leaders, we want to grow in that. So there are going to be some speed bumps and obstacles along the way. Talk to us for a moment about hindrances to understanding people.
I'm really convinced that, Charles, what you're talking about is essential when it comes to being a leader, because if you think of, and the fact that you brought Truman up, I think it's kind of a study in good leadership. Most of us think of leaders being driven, ambitious. We look at their accomplishments, and usually it's their legacy by which we judge people. And I'm also inclined to know that good leaders don't accomplish anything. Just like you said, they don't accomplish anything without the people that work with them and they work with. And so I was just struck by, there was two images you put together. One was dragging someone along in a headlock. You know, people are malleable. People are, they have just as much self-will as you do. And if you don't learn to collaborate, you're hurting yourself. And so when you think of the question you ask, how can we improve our understanding of people? And then how do we fail in understanding people? There are some hindrances, and I think one is are issues that we have to deal with internally. Usually my ability to understand someone else begins with me. And so I think fear would probably be the first thing. Fear, and that may be a sense of flowing from a place of insecurity, a lack of confidence. If you have like an adversarial culture in your department, in your organization, that can wreak havoc on insecurity. And so I think fear, when you think about as a leader, if you're living in any kind of insecurity and leading people seems like a very anxious idea for you, then maybe fear is an issue. The thinking is that because of maybe an issue I have with being fearful, is I fear my idea might be rejected. Sometimes people are in leadership, and there's become a popular phrase as of the last few years. It's called the imposter syndrome. Am I really cut out for this job? And however I project that may tend to indicate that I'm dealing with a level of where I lack confidence, or I'm fearful of other people's response to me as a leader. And so ideas, if I fear like my ideas are going to be rejected, then I'm less likely to collaborate. I'm less likely to work with others, and I'm less likely to share it in a way that builds on relationship and partnership. I may have the fear that coworkers won't like my idea. Again, going back to a sense of insecurity. And I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, I think if you have the title and you've been positioned in your department or your team or your staff, chances are someone believes in you. So I rarely think that your idea, it may not be something everyone agrees with, but to be rejected out of hand, I think that's the wrong idea. Think about how this idea might contribute, how it can be improved upon, rather than just wholesale reject it. Number three, I think one a fear is the I won't get the credit for the if the ideas work. I'm not saying that's not an issue on teams where other people are taking credit for the work that you do, but don't let that be the reason that you don't share your ideas. Don't let that be the reason you don't collaborate with people. Number four, they're afraid the boss will be threatened by their ideas. Again, I think that may be coming out of an adversarial culture, and whether that's not something that you harbor in your thinking, if you feel like that's happening in your department, then I can understand that being a fear. And I want to say that first about these hindrances. These are not necessarily things that are wrong with you. These are things that are generally happening dynamics, just interpersonal dynamics that are a part of any, you know, any relationship. But, you know, we're talking about fears that hinder our ability to understand people. And I think if you approach it with a sense of maybe what I share could be threatening or someone else is going to take the credit for it. Again, I think it's important to remember that your ideas are valuable. They're important. So don't withhold those in your meetings, in your relationships with as you collaborate with others. Number five, I think they could be concerned that they're be labeled a troublemaker. Again, that might be a reasonable outcome, sadly, if your staff is unhealthy, if your organization is unhealthy. But when you operate from a position of fear and you know, you're concerned about sharing a genius idea, that something that brings you a lot of energy, for fear that you're going to be a troublemaker, well, then there might be some other issues at hand there. So don't let your ingenuity, don't let your abilities, don't let your sense of even confidence, don't let that hinder you from stepping up and trying to work with people. And then number six, people can be afraid of losing their jobs if the suggestions don't work. Again, that's a real thing. And I'm not trying to minimize any of these, but I think at the point that they hinder us from being collaborative, at the point they hinder us from really trying to work with others, you can't affect how other people decide to work with you, but you can definitely be the kind of person that is working on building health in your staff culture, your organizational culture, just by putting yourself out there and showing a willingness to work with people. And listen, just as much as you're wanting people to understand your ideas and your methods, it's important you take the same posture with people. But fear is a big one. Number two, I think self-centeredness. Again, that's not something I don't think anyone's looking to be self-centered. But it can be one of those latent things in us that keep us from, you know, working to understand people. We're focused on ourselves. We're focused on, again, our position, our security. You think of priorities that we need to have when dealing with people. And John Maxwell lists seven things that help us deal with self-centeredness. And I think these are phrases that prioritize the most important words to build upon or build understanding in relationships. And so he says, the least important word is I. The least important word is when it's all about me. Number two, the most important word is we. Again, that's a very crucial word when you think about being a collaborator with others and looking to understand them. You have to come from the position of saying, we're in this, we're working together, we're the key. Not I'm the key to make this department succeed, we are the key. Maxwell continues, he says, the two most important words are thank you. I think we would all agree that showing gratitude, expressing our gratitude to others for their contributions is important. Number four, the three most important words, all is forgiven. I think that's powerful. When you can say, and to people that you work with, listen, it didn't pan out. Your idea was had a lot of energy and drive, and we appreciate your ingenuity. And if it doesn't work, we're gonna rally and work it out, but we're not gonna let your sense of failure keep you in that position. So remember those three words. All is forgiven. The four more important words What is your opinion? Again, think about what that does. It invites collaboration. It invites thought. I'm an introverted person, and I love to hear that because I'm processing inwardly all the time. And sometimes I need that permission to speak up. And so I appreciate that phrase, those four important words. What is your opinion? Number five, the five most important words. You did a good job. Again, it's encouraging. It's affirming. The six most important words. I want to understand you better. And if you'll operate with these seven phrases, I think you'll find that it'll shift your outlook from being very self-centered into being others focused, especially in those collaborative environments that we need. But now, changing your attitude from self-centeredness to understanding requires desire and commitment. You can't just have good thoughts about it. You need to act on it. You need to express that and be intentional. I like what Maxwell also says. He says, failure to appreciate differences, that is about respecting everyone's unique qualities. That can be a huge hindrance to collaborating with people. Just remember, there are unique things that people can bring to the table. And some of those may not be equal in terms of their effectiveness, but in the midst of a list of mundane ideas that don't move the needle, there's going to be that one. And so you need to appreciate what people bring to the table. Again, failure to acknowledge similarities. We have a lot more in common with others than we may know. And especially when you realize that both of you are tasked with reaching the same goal. So begin to appreciate not only another's differences, but recognize that you probably share more in common than you realize. And then also, as you think about some of these reasons, think about what's hindered you in understanding people. If one of these ideas has resonated with you, perhaps you've been operating from a perspective of fear or anxiety. Your sense of, you know, where's your place in the pecking order? And is it okay? Is it safe to share your ideas? If that's an issue, you know, you need to take ownership of that and work on changing that. Self-centeredness, again, is it about you or is it about the we? And I think, again, that's an important come to Jesus moment for all of us. And then finally, you know, learning to recognize that people have differences, but they're valuable. And at the end of the day, we actually probably have more similarities than differences. So be considering those. And I think you'll find you're in a much better position to work with others, to collaborate with others. Charles, I'm thinking where we are in this conversation. What are some things that we can do right now to improve our understanding of people?
Well, there's a few things that I think everybody needs to understand. And so here's just a short list of five things that we all can know, especially, again, as we're leading. Number one would be this. Everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants to be somebody. It's just built in. It's an innate part of who we are. There's a desire. There's a longing within us. We want to be somebody. So everybody wants to be somebody. So think about that. The people that you're tasked with leading, again, you may be leading a church. You may be leading a small group or a Sunday school class. You may be leading a business organization. Wherever it is you're leading, if it's a sports team, I mean, whatever the context, everybody wants to be somebody. And, you know, as you look into the eyes of the people that you're leading, just recognize that. Whether they voice that desire or not, regardless of how vocal they have been about that particular idea, everybody wants to be somebody. Second would be, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Man, I tell you, knowledge and just the desire sometimes that we as leaders have to kind of flex a little bit on people with our knowledge. You know, oftentimes we think that, well, that if I can just get across, well, this is how much I know, or these are the letters behind my name that represent the learning and the degrees that I've achieved, that's what's going to move the needle for people. But man, it comes back to relationship and our care and our value of people. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. It's going to be a hard road of leading. It's going to be a hard road of enlarging other people if they do not have the sense of being cared and being valued by you or me as the leader. So number three, everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs somebody. Again, I know there are some of us who feel like, well, I don't need anyone, or we try to emote that, or we try to even verbalize that sometimes with our voice or with body language. But everybody needs somebody. Again, there's just built into our DNA the desire for connection, the need for relationship. And so that's the third thing that we need to understand about people, is that everybody needs somebody. Even those of us who try to kind of have the tough skin and the tough love and try to push people away, at the core of who we are, everybody needs somebody. Number four, fourth thing we should all understand, is that everybody can be somebody when somebody understands and believes in him or her. Again, I think that's so powerful. I just want to restate that. Everybody can be somebody when somebody understands and believes in him or her. Listen, leader, you have immense power resident within you, and that is the power to believe in someone else. Your belief in someone else can unlock, it can release a new future for someone. Everybody can be somebody when somebody will understand and believe in him or her. Fifth thing on this short list of five things that we all need to understand: anybody who helps somebody influences a lot of bodies. Anybody who helps somebody influences a lot of bodies. And so we have to understand, going back to number four, leader, when we believe in someone else and they become somebody, that belief is not just unlocking them and is not just benefiting that individual. Now our belief, it lives through that individual who becomes somebody, and now they begin to influence people in their circle of relationships and their circle of influence as well. So anybody who helps somebody influences a lot of bodies. When we lift people up, we're not just lifting them, we're lifting all those whom they will go on to empower and to influence as well. So those are five, again, just a short list of five things, especially as leaders, that we need to understand. Here's another part of this equation, is that we have to choose to understand others. Every person is capable of having the ability to understand, to motivate, and ultimately to influence others. And if it's true, if you truly want to make a difference in the lives of others, then you and I have to make up our minds right now, in this moment, that we're going to do a few things. Number one, we're going to see the other person's perspective. Secondly, we're going to demonstrate empathy. Third, we're going to maintain a positive attitude about people. People generally see what they look for, and they typically hear what they listen for. And fourth, we're going to treat every person that we meet as if he or she is the most important person in the world. And by doing that, we will communicate that they are somebody. Bruce, anything that you'd like to add to my musings and ramblings here?
No, I think absolutely the whole idea that people generally see what they look for, and they hear what they listen for. And I think when you come into a working relationships with others, collaboration, leading your staff, I think if you come from a position of positivity, you'll see positivity. And, you know, you said how important it is to demonstrate empathy. Mm-hmm. I just thought maybe it's important to take some time to think about empathy, because I think it's easy to misrepresent what empathy is. There's a lot written today, both in leadership and the workplace environment, about emotional intelligence. That sense of having a high degree of self-awareness and knowing how to respond in situations. It's one thing to build widgets. It's another thing to work with other people and build widgets together. And empathy is often thought of as a skill of maybe a hospital nurse. That caring element, but empathy is really beyond that, and it has so many applications for working with people. Bottom line, empathy is simply the ability to understand and share the feelings of other people, to appreciate what someone else is processing in the moment. And I think it's important as it is to be self-aware, and that is hugely important. I told my wife the other day, we encountered a person that was just really struggling in their position, and they just seemed to lack a lot of self-awareness. And my thought to my wife was, I think one of the saddest things I've seen is when someone over 40 lacks self-awareness. So that's important. Empathy is the priority of being others aware. It allows us to step into a room and be so focused on others that we're conscious of what's motivating them, what's driving them, what's hindering them. And so empathy allows us to connect with others on a deeper level. And it's not just to feel their joy or their pain, but to respond to them in a way that helps them get from where they are to move a little closer to their potential and start fulfilling, a lot of the things that they're ambitious about. So, again, when you think about empathy, my standard is Jesus. I mean, I look at Jesus for my cues in life. And Hebrews 4:15 tells us that, as our high priest, he is not removed from us. He is touched by the feeling of our infirmity. He feels, he has felt, he understands the difficulty and the struggle and the temptation that we face. So, I think there are about three different types of empathy we could talk about this morning that maybe help us become more others aware. Number one is a cognitive empathy. Cognition, we're talking about thoughts. We're talking about, your inner motivations, inner perspectives. And that's what cognitive empathy is. It involves understanding someone else's perspective and someone else's thoughts. Now, you don't have to be a board certified psychiatrist to understand someone else's motivation. We've talked on several podcasts about the capacity to listen. And I think what largely we've talked about today in seeking to be a more understanding person of other people is to recognize that people have inner motivations, urges, drives, anxieties, and fears. And so if you're paying attention as a leader and you know someone else's story, then I think it's easier to pick up on maybe what someone is processing and maybe a challenging benchmark that your department needs to reach or some aspect where they're feeling under the gun. What can you bring to a person to help them if you understand better what they're feeling? I almost hesitated to bring this up because some leaders are just going to say, you just steer the cattle and move them. And you know, I think that's a little short-sighted. I think it's important to remember what's driving people, what motivates people. So cognitive empathy is one of those kinds of empathy. Another one is emotional empathy. A lot of times empathy is thought of as feelings, and you know, because feelings are someone's perspective on reality. Again, I think it's important that we can track with what someone is feeling emotionally, at least to understand it. So emotional empathy is one. And then what I would call a compassionate empathy that involves sensing someone's emotions and being motivated to take action. It's one thing to feel what someone else is feeling or to at least have a baseline understanding of maybe someone else's inner struggle. But compassion is that quality of a leader that says, I want to help you. I want to help you get past this. What do you need from me as an encourager? What do you need from me to help you feel more empowered? And those are some of the ways we extend ourselves to others, just through that channel of being more empathetic. Empathy, it doesn't come natural to everyone, but it is a skill that can be developed and improved over time just by taking time with people. So, Charles, we can probably talk about an action plan today. Maybe we want to reflect on a few things. How would you proceed on becoming a more understanding person?
Well, we can improve ourselves immediately just by asking a few simple questions each time we meet new people. So the first question would be this: where do they come from? Where do they? What's their story? What's their background? What's their history? What's their past experiences? Where did they come from? How did they get here? What brought them here? We're asking questions to improve our understanding of individuals. A second question would be, okay, I understand somewhat now where they've come from, but where do they want to go? What brought them here, but now what's driving them into the future? What does their picture of the future look like? What are their dreams? What are their hopes? What are their visions of the future? Where, in essence, where do they want to go? Bruce, any other questions we could ask?
I think the first two are pretty powerful. I do have maybe another couple, but just for a minute, you think about the first two. You consider where someone is coming from and compare that to where they want to go. Maybe where they want to go is a place they've never been. Maybe it's a level they've never reached in leadership. Maybe it's a skill set that they've never really operated in. And so those are two powerful questions to think about. You know, how did this person get into this role, this position, this church, and maybe this stage in life, and where are they going? I'm confident that, you know, we believe in people in their spiritual journey, that God is doing a lot of the activity in their life. He's saving them. He's sanctifying them. But sometimes moving from where they've been into a new experience, once you understand that about people, I think you're better equipped to help them get from where they've come from to where they want to go. Another question I would ask is, what is their need now? What is it? What is present reality in their life? What is it? Maybe if in relation to the first two, if where they are now is hindering them from where they need to go, then what is incumbent upon me as a leader to help them? To help them develop, to help them overcome, to maybe kind of encourage, you know, them through regarding circumstances. So what is their need now? And then lastly, how can I help? What's my role? I want to say, just as a leader, to leaders, that, you know, there are limitations. It's easy to fall into a Messiah complex and try to save everybody and fix everybody. But you're going to limit your ability to help anybody if you don't take time to understand them. So how can I help them? What's my role in helping them become the very best version of themselves? Charles, what else would you add?
Well, I would just say we've got a Five Gifts podcast first this week, and it's this. We're going to give you some homework. So here's your homework. Activate your positive attitude. This week, the task before you and before us is to practice valuing people this week. Practice valuing people. Try to put these things we've talked about understanding. As we understand people, what's going to happen is it's going to enlarge them, and then it's going to multiply the returns on our leadership investment. And so that's homework this week. Practice valuing people as we activate this positive attitude in understanding people. All right, so we're going to be checking, we're going to be monitoring. No excuses, the dog ate it, sister threw it away, none of that stuff. We've been down the route of homework excuses, so we're not accepting any of them. Well, we're going to pray for you this week as you practice understanding people. And we want to thank you for joining us today on the Five Gifts podcast. We hope this has been beneficial for you, as we pray each of our episodes are. Thank you for taking time to listen, to view, and go on this journey with us. Please remember to like, to follow, to subscribe, to share on all the different social media platforms that we are on. However you're accessing our content of the Five Gifts podcast, subscribe, like, share, and bring others with you on the journey with us on the Five Gifts podcast. Don't forget, we've got a brand new website, fivegifts.org. Go there, and you can find out all kinds of new information about things that are happening with Five Gifts. You can reach out to Bruce at coachingcardia.com. You can find me at charlesrussellministries.com or charlesrusselltraining.com. And if you forget all of that I've just said, just tune in next week, because we'll be here on the Five Gifts podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.